This is the Healthcare Insider, broadcasting live from Orlando, Florida, and direct from the HIMSS Annual Conference and Exhibition. HIMSS, showcasing innovation, impact, and outcomes. This broadcast is brought to you by Javion, helping providers stay remarkable. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
All right, Todd Schnick, coming to you live from Orlando, the Healthcare Insider on location. I'm your host, Todd Schnick. Quick shout out to today's sponsor, Javion. We have sure enjoyed partnering with him at this show, HIMSS. It's been a great couple of days together. We have an exciting conversation starting now. I'm excited to welcome three gentlemen to the studio. Say hello first to Alan Gilbert. He's the Chief Growth Officer with Team of Care. Alan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's our pleasure. Do me a favor, before we introduce our primary guest, take a quick sec. Tell us a little bit about you and your background, and then give us a 10,000-foot view of Team of Care.
Well, I'm Alan Gilbert. I'm the Chief Growth Officer and co-founder of Team of Care. I've been in the healthcare market for almost 25 years. Team of Care is a care coordination workflow software, an active care coordination workflow software that enables care coordination between various members of typically accountable care organizations, bundle payment initiatives, etc.
All right, outstanding. We're also joined by Jeremy Marucci. He's the Director of Enterprise Architecture with Hackensack UMC. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Give us a quick rundown about you and your background.
Well, first, excuse my voice. HIMSSANITY definitely got the best of me.
HIMSSANITY. I'm going to steal that.
I've been with Hackensack and in healthcare IT for going on 14 years now. I serve under Dr. Rob. We try to achieve his vision, and I'm a part-time scribe for him as well.
Understand that. And finally, we're joined by Dr. Shafiq Rob. He is the Vice President and Chief Information Officer with Hackensack UMC. Dr. Rob, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thanks for all three of you for joining us. Dr. Rob, do me a favor. Give us a few seconds about you and your background, and then let's go deep. Give us the 10,000-foot view of Hackensack UMC.
Absolutely. So I'm a medical doctor and a technologist and an evangelist for IT. I have been a CIO for more than 20 years. I work for Hackensack University Medical Center, which is a 1,200-bed healthcare network. The primary hospital has 771-bed. Hackensack is the number one hospital in the state of New Jersey, as given by Health Grades and U.S. World News, as well as it is the top three in the New York, New Jersey area. We are the beacon of light for innovation as far, and also for collaboration. Hackensack University Medical Center has done great work and is a tertiary and a quaternary hospital for other hospitals to send their patients in our area. We have been innovating in many ways, and we are also the one of the seven NCQA designated ACO that has been designated that. And we are learning as we are going forward. At the same time, one of the things that we do best is that we learn from other people. At the same time, we share our knowledge with other people.
Well, you can't, as an industry, grow without doing that. So commend you for that. Gosh, all kinds of innovative stuff coming out of Hackensack UMC. I'm really particularly interested in this Hackensack Alliance Accountable Care Organization. Tell us all about that.
So about a year and a half ago, we sat down and our CEO had the vision of having an alliance with the medical doctors and having an ACO. So one of the things that we did was that in any work, you need trust. Second is relationship. And the third thing is that what the users really need. And we went with that approach, and Dr. Gold and Dr. Maneker, who's the chair of the ACO Alliance, and they got together with me and they said, Shafiq, we need some help. And we said, I'm there for you. I only beg them that do not put 75 EHRs. How about let's go with 5 only? And one of the things that made us very successful is that we believed in what the end user needs, what the patient needs, and what the doctor needs. In doing that, we did some foundational things. That first, we had some agreements. Number one was agreement on our goals among the doctors so that we all do the same thing. Second, we all made sure that the doctors who are participating in the ACO were patient-centered medical home certified. Third thing we did was that we made sure that the EHR was meaningful use certified. Fourth thing we did that we include the entire continuum of care. And then we also had some agreement of practice of standards of care. And last thing that we made a commitment to active care coordination. So these are all big words, but bottom line is this, that what we really believed in, that when the care happens, we should provide the care when it happens. We should also take care of it before it happens, and at the same time, after it happens.
Jeremy, let me ask you something. It's all about care, right? It's all about patient care. That's why we're all here. But the industry is doing a better job of communicating to the world that the IT side of things really, really does make that happen. Speak on that just a little bit.
Well, just yesterday in our presentation about image enabling the EHR, we posted up our first slide was actual feedback from a patient's family to Dr. Rob. Patients never did that before. They don't go and seek out the IT department and say, hey, you know, you really helped me out. And we're getting those kind of emails now. So we're not just in the background. We're not just trying to put up some computers. People are realizing that the technology we're putting in place is actually helping them. And it makes Hackensack the place to go to when you need the care and you need the speed and you need the satisfaction of knowing you're going to live.
Absolutely. Well, the good news is the consumer marketplace is becoming more aware of the importance of technology in that, and that's going to make all of our jobs a heck of a lot easier. You know, you guys have also implemented this technology-enabled active management team model. Alan, I wonder if you could shed a little global light on that and tell us what that's all about, and then I'd like to ask you to kind of comment on how you're applying that model. So, Alan?
Super. So as we know, healthcare has really been done in silos. So what you did in the hospital, you did in the hospital. What you did in the doctor's office, you did in the doctor's office. What you did in the nursing homes, you did in the nursing homes. And I'm sure we can all remember either our own care, our family's care, our parents' care is all sort of in a very siloed fashion where the care is not really coordinated. In a lot of respects, either the patient has to be their own coordinator of their care, or they have to have their family member to help them to coordinate the care. We created this concept of a team-based approach to care. So, for example, a diabetic will have an endocrinologist, they would have a nutritionist, they'd have a physical therapist, they'd have a whole team that is looking at their care together, and you want to have them all understanding what everyone is doing together, and that's the team-based approach. And when you didn't have technology to help manage that, it was a very, very much harder process with faxes and calls, and you want to have a way to enable technology. That's the technology enablement of the care. The active management piece is, as Shafiq mentioned, it's at the point of care. A lot of times the care has been managed in the past, and Shafiq will speak about this, in looking at claims data. So 2 months old, what are you looking at to be able to analyze, and look at who are your diabetics, who are your congestive hearts, who are your COPD patients, and who are your high flyers in the ER. But what we're doing now is to look at exactly at the point of care, who's taking care of that. So care coordinators are getting alerts instantly when a patient is in the ER and be able to do something about it today. And they're able to, if they're an inpatient navigator, directly walk down from the third floor to the ER and see that patient. And if they're in the practices, then the inpatient person communicates with the practice, the outlying practices, and they'll decide whether the inpatient person is going to handle that patient for them or whether the people in the care coordinators in the outlying practice are going to come in an hour, 5 hours, 6 hours the next day, et cetera.
Dr. Rob, please add some additional commentary there.
So it's like this. If my mom came to the ED or my child came to the ED or the President of the United States came to the ED, what would happen? First thing would be like, hey, Dr. Rob's mother is in the ED. So somebody needs an alert. And when a patient comes in, we send an alert to the PCP, primary care patient, or we also send an alert to the care coordination nurse. We also send an alert to somebody else. So what that means, what do you mean by alert? So what I'm trying to make you all understand is that we have tons of information at different places. They come from the EHR, they come from HIE, they come from multiple PACs, they come from all other places. Take them all and put them in a logarithm. And when the patient comes, an alert goes. So what does that alert mean? What that really means is that, hey, come down and say, first of all, say hi to the patient. Make sure the patient is okay. And at the same time, make sure that if you have already done a CT scan on the patient 2 days before, let's not do it again and try to give a higher radiology dose and try to, next time the patient comes, have his light up in the sky. So we're not doing that. So that plus at the same time, if the primary care doctor is alerted, hey, he can come down and see in the ED the patient, right? So what that really means is that everybody who's involved in my care knows what to do when the care is needed. Not 6 months after that, somebody comes and tells us. So what that does by doing the active care management, two things have happened. One, if a patient was a Medicare patient, because we included all the Medicare patients who are attributed it, if you have used them, in our hospital, the people who are in the Medicare people who are in the ACO, as compared to who are not in the ACO because they're not attributed to it, their readmission rate is 23% less.
Wow.
How did that happen? Well, it's not magic. It's the same love and the same care and the same intelligence. Technology provides that intelligence and enables people to take action. Action in real time. The real information, avoiding duplicate tests, avoiding make sure that the patient gets admitted or make sure the patient goes sees the primary care, make sure the patient has taken the drug, all those things that you do for your mother and your child. So you see, the way I'm telling you this, because it's very simple, yet nobody does it or some people do it. And that's why we talk about active care management. We gave it a name. I mean, Alan gave that name, but we call it point of care, immediate treatment. At the same time, every member of the team, whether it's a primary care doctor, whether it's a pharmacist, whether it's a nurse, whether it's the immediate attending, they all know about the patient at the same time. So they can all make informed decision at the same time.
Well, that's got to be having a dramatic impact on patient care, the goal there. What are some other big lessons you guys have learned? I'll throw this out to all three of you. What are some other lessons you learned through the implementation of this? I'll start with you, Alan.
You really have to communicate this across the entire continuum of care so everyone knows that they are part of this team. Accountable care organizations and the Hackensack Physician Hospital Alliance ACO is just that. It's an alliance between the hospital and affiliated docs. They are only the glue that is only tying them together is this accountable care organization and the hope of shared savings. Hackensack already, as of this recording, has saved $10 million, which we believe is either the highest or one of the highest shared savings of any Medicare shared savings program in the entire country because of all the things that Shafiq mentioned of all these foundations. But you have to communicate because, again, they don't own these doctors. There are some that are in own practices, a faculty practice plan, but the vast majority are in onesie, twosie, 20, 20, 30 doctor groups as part of that. So that you have to really communicate. And so everyone, not just the main doctors who are on your committees and you see every week, every month, every year, but their entire practices. And you have to communicate it down to their office staffs. And you have to communicate it down to the nurses so that just because the one doctor that is representing that group knows about it, it has to be funneled all through that organization. So they've had sessions with the nurses, with the front desk people, with the billing people, so that everyone in the organization across this entire continuum of the Hackensack Physician Alliance ACO understands what everyone's doing.
Jeremy, any observations on some other lessons learned that you'd like to share?
I would say that I just hope that this model extends past just ACO patients. I mean, ACO patients are a limited group and they get this care, and I've seen it firsthand. I was in the ER a couple weeks ago, and I don't get a person to come and get these people together for me, but I fortunately had Dr. Rob standing there. He was my navigator. You know, he got all the people together. And so go outside of that. You know, we talk about we saved $10 million on this small amount of patients. Well, let's wake up and, do it for everyone.
Yeah.
Because you'd want to do it back to the mother and child thing. It just should be done.
Dr. Rob, you did a presentation, Image Enabling Your EMR. Talk about that process, that presentation a bit.
Oh, thank you for asking that. So as you know, that in healthcare is a complex place and we're still learning, bringing things together. We're still making things interoperable. So one of the things in image is what happens is that we have radiology packs. That means you have MRI, you have CAT scan, you have X-ray. But then you have cardiology packs. That means your cath lab, your sine, then you have your pathology. Then people have their EKG. Then people have bring documents. So there are all the OLOGs in, and plus they're all not the same system. One is one company, the other is another company. Mm-hmm. Nobody talks to anybody. But when you come as a patient, you would like the chart to come up, and then you would like to see your X-ray and your CT scan and your all other OLOGs together. So we partnered with a company, Vital Images, I think so, and what we did with them is that we said, listen, I need a library. And of course, we did it in 5 days, just to let you know that. So we're crazy people.
You weren't supposed to tell people.
Yeah, so I'm not supposed to tell people, you're right. So what we did is that we brought all the images together in one place, in the EMR, so from one place the doctor clicks on it, in the context of the patient, that means not 5 years ago, 6 years ago, for that visit, whatever is relevant, all the OLOGs are in one place. Similarly, what has helped us is that if the physicians are in a community outside and they want to see the things, we have given them access through CareLink. Our EMR is Epic, so through that we give them so that they can connect to that. So what it has done is this, that instead of logging, clicking, being frustrated at 55 places, the complete picture of ologies for the patient is in one place and is accessible anywhere, anytime, by any provider. It's phenomenal.
We had the pleasure of talking with Vital earlier in this show. I mean, that has an obvious benefit to the patient, no doubt about it, but it really helps the physician too, right?
I'm sorry about that. Yes, you're right. What it does, three things. Of course, we are on the air, so I can't say many things, but one of them, it makes our life easy and makes the lives of the physician easy, so we have a good feeling afterwards. And at the same time, it's quick. The email that Jeremy was referring to, two, three people emailed me, patients, because what it does, you get all the information. It's the right information in the right format for the right person every time securely. Just to have that so you can make informed decision. You're right. The life of the physicians are fabulous.
Yeah, that's amazing stuff. All right, we're going to shift to a lightning round here. I want to go down and talk to each of you, and I want you to give me what you think are the most pressing IT challenges the industry faces. Jeremy, we'll start with you.
Oh, thanks. The toughest IT challenges, mobility. Getting applications mobile, not just displaying them in a web browser, and you have to pinch and zoom, and doing it securely. So wrapping it in some kind of interface that will work and connecting the physician wherever they are to the actual patients and have them engaged.
I suspect that HIMSS 2019 will be having a lot of different technology, and it will be all mobile, I suspect, by that time. Dr. Rob, what are your thoughts on some of our biggest pressing IT challenges?
I think there are two major things. One is a big elephant is glaring in our face, and the second one, I'll talk about the second one. Second one is the secured connectivity. Secured connectivity, anybody who does it will make gold, money out of it. That is the key to connect all data points. Genomics is coming, people are doing home healthcare, people are taking data out of the driving pattern, people are getting data from pharmacy. All those data, when they come in, go somewhere, somehow they have to be secured. But the biggest elephant that is in the room is 2015, when you find out that there is a digital divide, that 20% of the hospitals have not either implemented a certified meaningful use EHR, or hundreds of doctors are left behind because either they couldn't afford it, they didn't have time for it. And without that completion, the network will not be complete, because I believe healthcare is just like a wedding ring. It's a circle. Circle of life can only be completed when we are all in it. And that is my biggest fear, that somehow an ASP model or somehow those people are not left behind.
Alan, good luck topping that one. What's your thoughts on our pressing IT challenges?
I can go second. Maybe we can start again. But for me, it's really interoperability and semantic interoperability. As I mentioned before, everything's in silos. So the systems that are built that are in this room today typically were not architected to share data. They were built to manage the four walls of a hospital, the four walls of a doctor's office, the four walls of a nursing home, et cetera. What we're really trying to do is to knock those walls down to allow this free flow of data among organizations. We want people to be able to view the data inside the system they're working in. So if you're in an EMR today, whether in the hospital, in their Epic system, or one of the ambulatory EMRs, for example, you don't want to have to leave that to go look at the health information exchange or go look in this that system. You want all that data on the current event and any other event that information that is possibly important to that, relevant to that information for the patient, the provider of that care, for that team, to be able to have that in the system that they're working on instantly so that they don't have to go anywhere else. That is still a pipe dream, even though you have meaningful use that has started to do that. Meaningful use one was kind of weak on it. Two and three are much, much better on it. And hopefully we'll really get there, because that's truly the holy grail, is to have that information everywhere. And then to be able to, you know, for example, if any of us, we're in Orlando now. Most of us are not from Orlando. Let's say some of us get hurt in Orlando. We're in a hospital in Orlando. They don't know anything about us. But all that data is already shared. So the pharmacy people, when you go to the pharmacy and you buy a medication, that information is instantly sold to the pharma, so that the people that are selling to the doctors know instantly that they prescribed, that you tell Dr. A, you prescribed 10 patients this medication and 20 patients medication. So they know that level of detail. They don't know the specific patient information. We want that same thing for us, so that our information is portable across the country, across the world, just like an ATM. It's essentially the ATM card for healthcare is is in a nutshell.
I got it. Well, gentlemen, it breaks my heart, but we are about out of time. Alan, where can people get in touch with you and learn more about Team of Care?
And the website is teamofcare.com, email info@teamofcare.com, and Twitter @teamofcare.com.
Dr. Rob, where can people get in touch with you and Jeremy and learn more about Hackensack UMC?
Well, I work for Hackensack University Medical Center. My email is srab@hackensackumc.org. My Twitter is CIO Shafiq. I'm on the LinkedIn, and if you want my phone number, I can give you that too.
All right, I think we're good there. Alan Gilbert, the Chief Growth Officer with Team of Care. Jeremy Marut, a Director of Enterprise Architecture, and Dr. Shafiq Rob, Vice President and CIO of Hackensack UMC. Gentlemen, my two key takeaways today was HIMSS sanity and Dr. Rob's circle of life. I think this was a good episode. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. It was a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, well, that wraps this live broadcast from HIMSS. Again, quick thanks to our sponsor, Javion. We appreciate their continued support. On behalf of our guests, my name is Todd Schnick, the Healthcare Insider's live coverage from Orlando. We'll be right back.